Okay, we can. Yeah, I'm good whenever you want to start.
Just a quick question of how long do you think you'll be eating the hot knots, Fernando?
I'm gonna stop right now.
Well, take your time, you know.
No, I mean I'm already fine. As in, I've already stopped eating hot knots.
That's great.
I'm just drinking Coca-Cola now. Is that okay?
If that's not okay, kick me out.
Let's have a meeting.
Okay, that's the cue. Let's film club.
Yeah. Whoa. New tradition. Black Narcissus. Laura, it was your pick this week.
It
Why Black
was.
Narcissus?
Well, I guess so. Kira put me on to Paul and Pressburger films. So
Okay.
we watched A Matter of Life and Death in the cinema, and then I think we watched this next, and we watched I Know Where I'm Going, and I thought these are good films. I'd like other people to watch these films.
I've seen A Matter of Life and Death, and I thought it was quite similar to that, but I didn't know it was the same guys. That's interesting. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, this one stuck with me. I don't know why. I think it was the surprising genre shift.
Okay.
There
Interesting.
was a genre shift?
I thought there was a genre shift. I thought I detected a small genre shift. From what
Okay.
to what? From 40s film about nuns to weird horror film about nuns. Those are genres, right?
It did end up as a like suspenseful thriller after what looked like it was going to be a kind of personal drama about sort of romance and God and stuff.
Well, I'm dying to know what you all thought.
Great. Fernando, what did you think?
I liked it. Yes, I liked it. Thank you very much for making me watch this film. I
You're
enjoyed it.
welcome. Oh, good. Am I going there?
Wait, can I say something else?
Please.
I now like women wearing like religious robes. And
Yes.
previously, I was a little conflicted. I did not like any kind of public religious expression, but now I'm okay with it.
Oh, fantastic.
I like it. Yes.
I thought it was working for them.
When I
Like they
saw
were pulling that off.
the woman without the religious garments, I was too shocked. I was like, no, this is too liberal. So thank you for that as well.
Yeah, well, anytime.
I liked it. I thought it was a little boring in places,
Fair
but
enough.
What an unexpected psychological thriller. Very, very cool.
Cool.
Michael?
Great. I liked it too.
Oh.
I thought it was it wasn't perfect. It had its problems, and unfortunately, I think it's one that I think we've talked about this before. There's some films that the more you think about them afterwards, the better they become. And there's other films that sort of the more you think about them, the more you either find holes in them or you don't, you just aren't so impressed. And I think this one's the
Oh
latter.
no.
I did enjoy it. It was not a
No.
bad film by a long way, but I thought it was, yeah, there were limits to how good it was, and it
Well,
was
maybe you should stop thinking about it then.
maybe I should. Yeah, I should have just strolled out of the film and immediately just started doing something else. Issues with it, a few issues, things that could have been better, and or even was this really a great concept for a film? Was there a good enough story here to justify a big budget movie like this? I'm not sure, but it was good.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
Well, maybe by the end of this conversation,
maybe we'll have
I don't
decided.
know.
Yeah.
Maybe we could be definitive. I really like it. I
Great.
really like it. I think it's great. I think it's flawed, as you say, mainly because it's incredibly
Yes, yeah,
racist.
so we've got to get to that. I was trying to just let it away with that because it was the 40s. I don't think you can entirely let it away with that just because it's the 40s, but I was trying to look past that. And Yeah, if it was like, should we get into that to start with? Because I think there were a few directions from which it was a bit racist, right?
Yeah.
Where do we start?
I suppose most obvious is the characters in brown face. I think just you've managed to get one Indian man. Why not just cast some Indian women? You know,
characters in brown face.
Yeah, the two sort of Indian women were both white.
All right.
Jean Simmons.
Oh, yeah. I thought she looked weird. I guess that's why I thought she looked weird.
Yeah.
Because she was not Indian. Oh, why would you do that? Was she just a famous face? A famous person that they loved?
I don't know if she was that well known yet. She might have been. I have no idea. But
yeah.
But certainly the older woman, I think, was a well-known actor.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't even sure what race she was supposed to be. Was she meant to be Indian?
I think so, yeah. I think she was meant to be one of the locals.
Okay. I think at the time they didn't. Did they even think about that? Was this just, oh yeah, we put people in nun costumes and we put people in blackface and it's the same thing? Or was there some pushback from some people?
I really don't know.
My feeling is that there is an element of it just being a costume that you wear.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I doubt they had the discourse that we have now about it. I'm sure Indians wouldn't have been that pleased, but...
Well, I guess that's what I'm asking, because I think there were a bunch of things in this film that Indians really would have disliked and would have objected to. And I just wonder whether that was one of the things that no one really had an issue with, or whether it was something that all the people who were minorities were crying out about and just being ignored for decades.
Yeah, could well have been.
Maybe we should look into that. Let's all go away and research that for next time and we'll discuss it.
All right. It's not one of my tutorials where I don't know the answer.
I also think there's two different kinds of brown face or black face. One is dressing up as the race to, like, deliberately to make fun of it, to make it into a caricature and make it ridiculous. That would be something like minstrel shows in the US that were, like, deliberately having a go at black Americans. Whereas I think this was just they couldn't be bothered to find someone who was actually Indian to play this. But I don't think that character was like a deliberate attack, or that the use of brown face there was exactly an attack on Indians. Or like some of the other things that were.
Yes, there were many other deliberate attacks on Indians.
Yes. Shall we get into them then? They were...
I don't think intention... I mean, obviously, again, we're putting it in the context of the 40s, but nowadays, intention about your blackface or brownface characters is irrelevant, isn't it?
I don't think it's irrelevant. I think that can make something that's misjudged and offensive into something that's really heinous and cruel. I think there's a very big difference in using it because you can't be bothered to employ someone versus using it to deliberately... make racist statements about a group of people.
I suppose in neither case it's okay, though.
Neither case it's okay, I'm saying.
Yes. No, that's...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure.
It's over the line no matter what. But yes, yeah, there's levels of damage that you can do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a line for sure. So the villagers were this classic sort of colonial savage that we need to look after because they don't know a damn thing and they're ignorant and they need Christians to come teach them how to be decent people. And they really leaned into that quite a lot, didn't they?
I'm not sure.
I'm also not sure. Just because I'm never sure about things.
Me too.
I think it reflected the general British view of Indians at the time.
Yeah.
But they were so thin, like they had so little depth of character, and they were just there to be irritated. Oh, what am I trying to say? They were made out to be stupid and backwards and in need of guidance from the colonizing superpower. And I thought that I wanted something a bit more from that.
I think, not to jump in and defend it, because I really don't think it's defensible the way they were portrayed, but I thought we didn't spend enough time with any of the Indian characters to really, I mean, apart from the ones who were actually white people, to create any sort of real portrayal. We had characters, main characters, expressing constant racist views.
Talking of medicine, Sister Bryony, if you get a bad case, one that seems to you as though it might be dangerous or even serious, don't take it.
But that would be...
It'd be wise. You see, if you got a bad case and some of your people died, you'd have all the people up against you.
Why?
Well, you must remember they're primitive people and like children, unreasonable children. They've never seen medicine before. They'd think it was magic, a new kind of magic. So remember, I've warned you.
But again, there's a layer of separation between the filmmakers saying that and the characters saying that.
Oh, that is true.
Obviously, like, it makes sense for this colonial white man who's stationed there to be like, they're children, they don't think of these things, you know. And then the nuns being like, yeah, they're in need of salvation, and everyone here is so backwards. And
see what you mean, I guess. It was... I guess we'll talk a lot about Mr. Dean and how positive and like how much we agree with his point of view. But it did seem that he was presenting fact to the sisters quite a lot. But yeah, you're right there. But part of us not knowing is them not being on screen much, which again is sort of okay. But then I'm thinking, like, the two Indian characters we did spend some time with were Kanchi and the young general.
Mm.
And they were both a bit pitiful and a bit laughable.
What? Why was the general laughable?
Not entirely dislikable, but the young general...
He was interested in learning. He went to the convent to learn French and, was it Russian or something else?
I want to be a student here with you. I want to study a lot of learning. I want to study mathematics, history, poetry, and languages. I have a note from my uncle to ask you to encourage me.
I'm very sorry, we only teach children and young girls.
Why?
Convents don't teach men pupils.
That's not very polite to men.
We don't mean it that way, it's the custom. Convents are for girls, the brotherhoods are for men.
But you don't need to count me as a man. I'm only interested in studious things. Please, sister, I've written out my timetable. May I read it to you? 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., algebra with the mathematical sister. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., religion, especially Christianity, with the scriptural sister. 10 a.m.
Yeah, but he was meant to be the most wealthy and engaged and civilized one of all of them, and he was this credulous child who didn't understand a thing. He was a fool all the way through it.
Maybe we are the fool.
He was like a child.
We don't understand life. Maybe that's what enjoying and living life is all about.
There you go. Yeah. Argue that.
Maybe you're right. I mean, he was likable. I didn't think Kanchi was likable.
No. Why was she wearing an earring on her nose?
Yeah, yeah. It kept moving as well. It was always in different spots. She was, I don't know if you, what was the point of her being there? I think both of them seemed like sideshows, like a sort of subplot that didn't really matter and kind of came to nothing. In fact, I think that's a bigger point. So I've said most of what I want to say about race now. And yeah, I think I'm, as I say, I'm inclined to want to look past it because it's the 40s. It was a bit of a shame, and it would be a better film if they had dealt with other nations a bit more sensitively.
I think Kanchi did have relevance, but we'll come to that.
Okay, yeah. So this was my bigger point with the film, and it was what I thought afterwards was that it felt like they'd spun out quite a few threads that they didn't tie up. We ended up quite invested in Kanchi and in who was it, Sister Philippa, and in the young general, and I don't really know what happened to them. Our heroes left and they were just sort of still there. Don't know.
Who's Sister Philippa?
Well, exactly. She was. I think she was slightly older than Sister Clodagh.
Oh, yes. Was she the one doing the garden?
Yeah, that's right.
She was struggling with being
She
there.
Was. Was she okay in the end?
She had to leave with them. The whole convent left.
Yeah, they all left. Yeah. I guess I wanted to know. Or maybe it didn't matter, or I don't know.
I think the point of her story was to illustrate the effect of the place was having on all of them.
Okay.
They're all losing themselves to dreaming and reverie because the view is too expansive, the place is too romantic, it's too... These winds are always blowing and they just can't do anything but dwell in these memories of their pasts, which haven't come back to them until they're in this like very dramatic place.
Now that was really well done. I really loved this sensation of them all just going a bit mad and being in this place that was kind of beautiful and wonderful, but all just struggling with it deeply. Seeing them play off each other, it was quite something.
Yes, that's what I like about it as well.
Yeah. But sorry, I feel like what I'm saying is lacking structure a bit here. I'm just throwing out random things that popped into my head. I should have taken notes.
No, that's fair. I thought the pacing was a bit off at times. It was some of the scenes were really rapid, especially at the beginning. They were just moving very quickly. I don't know.
They were short. Difficult. Yeah. I think that's why it was boring for me in places. Because some bits were just dragged out and kind of didn't go anywhere. Whereas other bits just were rapid fire, near the start. I think that was my biggest. Was that my biggest issue? It just felt quite thin as well, as a narrative.
Interesting. I think it had an aim and it executed that aim. I think it was trying to show how these nuns were coping in this climate and it did that. There you go.
Okay.
I think it could have done it better and faster.
Well, I can't get into your head and change your opinion, so I guess I'll just that.
We are really limited by the format of just talking to each other, aren't we? I sort of failed to care. I was just saying earlier, I was very invested in these characters. I was invested from a they've been on the screen a lot point of view. But I didn't really care that much about people like Sister Ruth and Mr. Dean. They were
what?
They were people. They were on the screen and they were saying kind of interesting stuff. But what, I don't know. We were watching Sister Ruth lose her mind. Basically, she was going nuts from being in the totally nuts. So she was going total wicked bonkers up in her room in the Himalayas with the altitude and stuff. But it.
I shan't see the doctor. I'm perfectly well, you knight. You're just trying to make out that. I didn't mean to be rude. I haven't been sleeping, that's all.
Is something worrying you?
Yes. Yes, that's it. I'm worried.
Don't you think you could tell me about it?
I can't speak of it. To anyone.
Won't you try? You know you can trust me.
You didn't want me to come here. None of you have ever wanted me here.
I don't know what she was like before they left. She always seemed to be a bit evil. And I'm really struggling to articulate this. I'm sorry. I didn't care if she lived or died, basically. she made a great, as you said, when it switched genre and it was a, like, slasher movie, she made a great villain.
Yeah.
A real haunting menace. It's like she had the devil in her or something. She was a fantastic villain, especially towards the end. But before that, I think she was meant to be one of the sisters who was gradually becoming corrupted or becoming weird, but I didn't really get it. It didn't help that white people all look the same and all of the nuns just had like this middle part of their face showing and I couldn't tell them apart most of the time.
That's how I felt the first time.
Figure it
out
from context.
Yeah, so
maybe now I've seen it once. Could they have given one of them a scar or something or like a number on their, like, could the Sister Superior wear a different kind of cross? Or
she should have marked their arms with pen.
Marked their arms with pen so we can tell them apart, or do something. Yeah, as it was, I struggled a bit.
That's fair. I don't think we were meant to be that invested or like Sister Ruth at any point. I think they make pains to discuss her at the beginning before they've left for the Himalayas.
And Sister Ruth. But Sister Ruth is ill. That is why I want her to go. Forgive me for saying so, Reverend Mother, but do you think our vocation is her vocation?
Yes, she's a problem. I'm afraid she'll be a problem for you too. With a smaller community, she may be better. Give her responsibility, sister. She badly wants importance.
Do you think it's a good thing to let her feel important?
Spare her some of your own importance, if you can.
Do you remember this? Sister Clodagh has a discussion with the Mother Superior there of saying, you know, oh, so, Sister Ruth, we're sure we want to take her along? Is she really right for this? Yeah. And her being, you know, she's struggling, she's isolated, she's in want of importance. And then we do see her as someone who's prone to being a little bit hysterical and on the edge and doesn't really ever integrate. So I think she's just meant to be a slightly unsettling figure.
Okay.
I don't know, though. But yeah, I don't, I sort of see what you mean. You can't really help if you're not invested. I was invested in seeing what happened to them, particularly Sister Clodagh, the superior, who I liked.
Yeah, I did like her.
And I was captivated by Mr. Dean. Whew. His tiny little right. shorts and his tiny little pony and his Peter Pan get up.
I couldn't believe it with his country bumpkin hat. Could he have made a less manly, intimidating entrance? And yet, all that smolder in his eyes and that the way he stared right down, like, any female character who's like mentally undressing them every time he opened his eyes.
Sure, there's no question you're dying to ask me.
None.
But I couldn't see how that wasn't just utterly repulsive. Like how any of them could have sort of started swooning over how wonderful Mr. Dean is. I all I could think was like, wow, this guy's bad news. What are you doing? And so it was odd that he sort of ended up being an unlikely hero, or he was meant to be a hero all along, or what?
I think he was meant to be complicated.
Yeah, he was that. But again, then he was still complicated, and he was still complicated, and then the film ended. I feel like I never got him.
So I feel like we should let Fernando and Claire talk because I can't help but interrupt and be like, no, you're wrong about this.
Well, I want to be interrupted because I need this explained to me.
I think in the bit we're meant to see him as a cynical, hardened, bitter man who's desperate to get rid of the nuns and whatnot, who's just there to provoke them, antagonize them. And we see him grow a grudging respect for Sister Clodagh, and eventually he can open up and there's a little tender moment between them on the cliff top where they're talking and he says, you're more human now and I like you and whatnot. And then this he's thrust into this uncomfortable position when Sister Ruth is throwing himself and he screams, I don't love anyone.
You into Darjeeling or not?
No.
And you must go back to the palace.
No.
You'll go back if I have to carry you back. Go and talk to Sister Clodagh. She brought you here, she can get you back again.
Sister Clodagh! Do you know what she says about you?
Or whatever she said, it was true.
You said that because you love her!
I don't love anyone!
Clodagh!
But again, that's not true, and we see this at the end where they sort of have this very tender moment of just holding each other's hands, and then she disappears into the mist. So she has changed him.
Okay. Interesting.
You know, he has grown to care for someone. He even agrees to tend the grave of a woman he spurned.
He was really handsome.
Handsome guy, yeah.
He was that.
That's what I thought.
Was he a good bloke?
Yes. He was just a normal non-Christian. All Christians are threatened by non-Christians.
Sister, may I congratulate you on the birth of Christ?
Thank you, General.
I hope you don't mind my coming tonight. I am very much interested in Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I really liked him. I really liked how he was riding that tiny horse.
Yeah. Terrific. Sexy.
Felt like it was meant to mean something, the tiny horses, but then maybe that's just what people ride in the Himalayas.
Maybe they just need ponies. I think it was meant to be, I'm not sure of this at all, but he was constantly calling, or not, but you know, he called the locals children, but he was dressed like an overgrown child at all times. And riding around on a tiny pony, whether it was meant to be like, you know, it was filmed in the dying gasp of the empires within.
Yeah.
And I think they knew this, and it was kind of that retreat into the mist was a deliberate kind of, this is them quietly, shamefully having failed in their colonial sort of thing.
The British Empire just backing out.
Yeah.
At the last second.
We'd failing.
I think we're meant to see that the convent failed and I guess we could debate whether or not the empire failed.
Certainly the empire sort of disappeared unceremoniously from India, sort of as soon as they realized that it wasn't worth it anymore and that it wasn't going to be it wasn't going to be possible for them to run it as they had been doing. And they just had to get out of there, and they had this sort of rapid withdrawal scheme that they botched and caused untold calamities. And not because they decided it was the right thing to do, but just because they were basically quietly defeated. Maybe there's something in that. Was the whole thing was a bloody typical Laura pick. It's a film that's a... it's a what do you call it when the story's actually a story about something else?
Allegory,
thank you. It's all an allegory. I was thinking through it, this must have been based on a book. It was very novel-like.
Yes, and it was.
And I bet you get a much better character portrayal in the book.
I wonder.
And it's more cohesive somehow. But I don't know. I wish I could say more clearly, this is what's wrong with it.
Maybe I'm just blinded because, like the nuns, I was very drawn to Mr. Dean.
Okay.
I could forgive him a little bit of...
You'll be doing me a great favour when you begin to educate the local girl, sister.
I have already been told, Mr. Dean, that you do not believe in solitude.
Do you know what the people call this place? The House of Women. The General's father used to keep his ladies here.
From now on, it will be known as the House of St. Faith. Sister, will you have that picture taken down?
I give you till the rains break.
I thought he was very... he was meant to be an enigma. He's just a figure for their desire.
I see.
He can't have depth. He is fantasy personified.
Yeah. He's just the bad boy in every one of their souls.
Exactly. I thought he did. I thought it was clear why he kept coming. I thought their conflict felt natural to me, which is that Clodagh was rude and arrogant towards her and just kept showing up. And then they would have little moments of almost connecting and not quite. And then he would do something blasphemous and you're off again. But it was really when she was feeling vulnerable and lost to memories that he would show her a bit of kindness, and that would sort of form this tie between the two of them.
Maybe that wasn't made plain enough. Maybe there was felt like there was a bit too much noise in it, too much other random stuff going on that I couldn't quite capture that. I don't know.
Oh, well.
A lot of good things to say about this film.
Should we do some good things?
Yeah.
Those are my favourite things about the film, probably. Is that I agree, it's a little I don't know, the pacing's off, it's a little slow, and then you get to the sort of, oh, Sister Ruth's lost her mind, and she's terrifying.
Yeah.
And those eyes.
Oh, the eyes.
And her skittering up the stairs like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, she played it so well.
Yeah.
Some of the she was pretty scary before any of the makeup and stuff, when she was just had this evil smile.
Mm.
I don't know how she played that. She did it so well. And they must have directed it so well too. I really hated her. I really saw her as such a threat and so cruel and evil. I think it's the way she was laughing. Okay. It's the way she was laughing in this. There was no joy in it. She was laughing at Sister Clodagh's misfortune. Yeah, just out of malice. And done so well. And the final. Her final scene when she comes out of the tower is when she's finally got her final makeup.
Yeah, full vampiric.
Looks so terrifying. That was really well done. And I guess the broader thing to say there is the effects, the special effects in this film were superb.
How do you mean?
Things like the precipitous drop.
Yeah.
Guess was done with painted backdrops and trick camera angles and stuff, but done brilliantly. A lot of it, there were certain painted backdrops that you could see that's a painted set, but there are others that I thought, like, is this real? And I the first time it showed us the house, I thought, is that a real Himalayan fortress thing?
Yeah.
Actually up on a precipice. And I think it must not have been, but it looked good.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it looked amazing.
It defied disbelief.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was, as far as I know, all shot in Pinewood Studios in London.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought there must have been some stuff on location. That's amazing.
I think, that was it. It was all most in Pinewood Studios and then some in a nearby botanic garden.
We'll go to the park next door. We need to do a bit that's outside. Yeah. That's great.
I agree.
Because they couldn't do a lot with green screens and stuff, could they?
Don't think so.
There was like limited, especially in colour production. Great stuff.
What did we think of the Holy Man?
Bet he symbolised something.
It must have been. It did occur to me he kind of symbolised the nuns. He was basically there doing the same thing they were doing.
What? He was not losing his mind.
No, you're right. No, in fact, he was doing it more successfully in a way. But he was a basically religious fanatic who had gone up to the top of a very tall thing and just sat there. And that was kind of what they were doing. I don't know, not quite.
Somehow he seemed more noble. Oh, maybe that's a trope that I've just played into, but
he was sort of a mirror of them. You're right though. I think there's something in
he felt more deserving of dignity and respect.
We looked up to him, we respected him. Again, this is an old story of the basically an ascetic monk just completely giving his body and mind over to pursuit of some kind of peace or something that's engaging. I think there's a particular fascination that Europeans have with that, the way that arises in Buddhist etc. culture.
Now, making a tangent, if the board game Go was from China, and introduced to Korea and then Japan, why was it not introduced to India? Because I imagine the Holy Man playing Go against himself all day long, because what else did he have to do other than play Go?
Yeah, what better road to enlightenment? And indeed, chess traveled from India to China. And then thence to Korea and Japan. So why couldn't Go travel the other way, I ask you?
Exactly.
He was probably writing an amazing novel in his head.
Is that why there is like a Chinese version, well, Chinese and I guess Japanese version of chess? I think the Japanese version is called shogi.
Yeah.
So does shogi exist because of Indian influence?
Yeah, indirectly, yeah. It's fascinating, wow. The spread of chess. This is way off topic. It started in India, and it simultaneously spread west towards Europe and east towards Japan. And as it went in those directions, it diverged massively. So that's very different game.
But chess is an Indian game?
Yeah, well, Chaturanga is an Indian game, which is very like modern chess, but it developed a bit. So it moved to Iran, and that's where it turned into very nearly the game we play now. And then eventually in Italy and the rest of Europe, it turned into modern chess. But simultaneously, they were playing other versions of it in India. And yeah, as it went into China and Japan, it developed these very different...
The Indians invented everything.
Yeah.
They invented chess. They invented the numbers.
Numbers, yeah, yeah. They invented chutney. that was a good little thing that we noticed, by the way. That quite a few uses of like there's a handful of words in English that are derived from Hindi, and I think they made a point of using lots of them in this film.
Which one?
Maybe it was just two. So he said something was pukka.
What is pukka?
I think meaning genuine or. So that was the holy man.
Yes, good bloke.
Yeah, I liked him. So Kanchi, what about Kanchi?
Oh, yes.
Was she?
Bad news. Didn't like Kanchi.
Why was she there?
She was...
Nobody likes her.
Just some random.
She was some woman from the village, a young woman who ought to have been getting married, but because of her, what was it, because of her wayward ways, none of the men of the village wanted her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Dean put her in there because she'd taken to sitting on his veranda.
Yeah, there it was, yeah.
Said, look, can you do something with her? But I think she was just there as a plot device. Not plot device, I don't know. Symbol.
Yeah, right, so what purpose did she serve? Because I think that's what I was struggling with.
She was the embodiment of yearning and desire. Of
an
what,
annoying
sir?
Character?
An annoying, yeah. Yes.
I thought Mr. Dean was the embodiment of yearning and desire.
They're all the embodiment of yearning and desire, but Mr. Dean is a repressed English man. Kanchi is subject to the nuns' English colonial repression of sexuality, but they couldn't keep a good woman down.
Yep, and she did manage to seduce the young general.
Yes.
Who is therefore going to completely fail to learn physics and Russian. So that kind of character was in all of the nuns. Is that what you mean?
I think so. I think the only basic reading I have is the whole film was about yearning and repressed sexuality, and that you had a character who was chafing at this, not just internally in the way the nuns were holding themselves back, but just being restricted by the other characters who are trying to force their, again, I think it's to do with this colonial dynamic, who are trying to force their beliefs and attitudes onto her.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, see that? And ultimately failed to do that.
Yes.
In fact, Kanchi might have been all right if she'd been in this cloistered away with all these nuns and no men. But the fact that the young general was there against the express wishes of Sister Clodagh, who said this is just for women.
Aren't you afraid with the young general that you've let a cuckoo into your nest?
Well, we didn't want to offend the general. He might turn us out.
Oh, he wouldn't do that. You may have trouble with Kanchi.
Kanchi? She'd never dare. After all, he is a prince and she is what she is.
Still, I expect she knows the story of the prince and the beggar maid.
The fact that he was there meant that she had an object of her desire that she could go after, and in exactly the same way he'd have been fine, except that there was this one unrestrained object of lust, and as a result both of them ran off.
Yeah.
And then all the English left and the Indians just got on with it. Like in real life.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting.
But I don't know, maybe you just need characters to populate a film and they didn't think about it that much.
Yeah. No, I think it's got to be something like what you said, because they clearly thought about this stuff. I didn't think the film really did need those extra characters to populate it. I think it might have been a better film without them, except that they were serving some kind of purpose.
I think we see that in the end with the general, who said that he was not going to become a man of learning, right? So he's sort of being like, I will not have all of these English trappings. Like, he's not going to Cambridge anymore. He's now going to become a warrior like his people, in the tradition of his people. So I think it's very clearly kind of meant to be a, yes, they failed, they're leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something in there. Well... He was good. I was prompted to think of the Hays Code and the concept of gay coding characters where they're not really allowed to say that the character is gay. Did anyone else think that?
Oh, who was gay?
All of them. The young general.
The young general was gay?
Well, he clearly wasn't because he ended up running away with Kanchi. But I don't know. There's something about the way they presented him, just a little...
very fashionable. He loves fashionable. Scent.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the film was named after soft-spoken perfume. Black Narcissus. Yeah.
Black Narcissus.
Mm. I wonder if this has anything to do with Pink Narcissus.
See the ties?
Wasn't Pink Narcissus the name kind of a parody?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
I think this was a well-established classic film by that point.
And Pink Narcissus was the parody?
Yeah.
Why did I think I not see that?
Not much more than the name, but...
Yeah. No, it's about yearning and desire and repressed sexuality and circumstances of being trapped in a... He's trapped in his room and he escapes into his own sexual fantasies.
Well, that alters my rating from 2 stars to 5 stars for Pink Narcissus then.
I was so glad that this wasn't a gay porn film. Had a lot more going for it than Pink Narcissus.
You've got a very restricted definition of gay porn, Michael.
It's maybe true. Although I note that my definition includes Pink Narcissus, and apparently some people's definition doesn't include Pink Narcissus.
Well, we can be thankful there are no ejaculating penises in our...
Yeah, I don't think that would have improved this. Yeah. Not in shock.
Yes, you're right. I'm sure there were some ejaculating penises in and around this film.
I'm half tempted to read the book if it turns out to be hilariously short.
I've already added it to my reading list.
Okay. Oh, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, except my reading list is just huge. I will never go through all the books that are in my reading list. But at least it is there.
Yes.
Yep. It's good to be honest with yourself. Great Technicolor.
Oh, I love Technicolor.
Yeah.
I wish all films were Technicolor.
Yeah, something about the warmth of it and the brightness of it. It felt very real. Many of the scenes felt like this could have been shot yesterday, but it was shot 80 years ago.
Nearly. Wow.
I did not know that films existed 80 years ago.
Yeah, turns out they did. I think this is the oldest colour film we've seen in the club.
Wow.
I've seen very few that were older than this at all.
I didn't realise it was the 40s at first.
Yeah. I thought the same thing watching A Matter of Life and Death. I thought, like, this looks like it was shot in the 70s or 80s or something. great stuff.
Mm. Okay. Do you want to know my favourite line?
Yes.
It was when Aya goes, "What do they eat?" And the general's like, "See those crates? Sausages!" Yes. They'll eat sausages until they can tell us what else they want to eat.
Europeans eat sausages wherever they go. Yes. And you know what? He was right. Probably very few Europeans would turn down sausages.
Yep.
It made me think of my dad's school had a link with a school in Kenya, and he'd go out there sometimes and they'd come visit us sometimes. And eventually they all realized that everyone was giving each other rice, even though no one really ate rice themselves. Like here we tend to eat bread and potatoes, and in Kenya they tend to eat ugali, cornmeal, but everyone kind of can get rice, and the English were assuming the Kenyans ate rice, and the Kenyans were assuming the English ate rice, and it was they'd been doing this for a couple of years before they finally had a conversation where they established that no one really eats rice.
Wait, everyone eats rice?
Well, I think everyone sort of at least eats a bit of rice sometimes.
That's true. That's all I had to eat in Peru.
Right. Was that their preferred thing to eat in Peru?
Nah, I think we were just in the middle of nowhere and it was an easy sort of mass meal to make people.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that comes into it as well.
I love rice. I could eat rice for the rest of my life.
Rice wears pretty thin for me pretty quickly.
What?
I mean, compared to bread and butter or roast potatoes or, I don't know,
pizza. Proper English food.
I'm trying to think of like staple foods.
I've run out of thoughts. I don't have many anymore. One more.
Yeah.
Theme of suppressed sexual yearning of the nuns. Obviously, the palace was deliberately covered in all these erotic paintings from its days of being a palace of ladies.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a good juxtaposition.
Thank you.
If I may.
Precisely.
Wait, it was a palace for ladies?
They say that in the beginning, that I think the general says we're going to fill it with women, and then Aya's like, oh, women dancing, it'll just be like the old days. I think they say it another time as well, that it was a palace for women.
Yeah, like all of the general's hundreds of women that he enjoys. Yeah, so that was kind of, I particularly liked when they just moved in. We had this shot where the camera's focusing up on this frieze covered in naked people, and then it pans down to the cross and the candles with a nun sitting by it. Like they're making do. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
This is really bad, like travel name dropping, but it made me think of the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul when we went, just because it was like an Orthodox Christian cathedral for like 900 years before the Ottomans invaded and conquered the city and made it into the biggest mosque in the world. And they basically, it was completely covered top to bottom in beautiful Christian mosaics and art and stuff. And half of them, they just left there and they were just like, yeah, it's just some art, who cares, whatever. And some of them they just plastered over. And when it became a museum in the 20th century, they uncovered it, and this beautiful art's still there. But it made me think of that, just like, I'll make do. Some other religion has covered it completely top to bottom in all of the things they believe in, but let's not worry about it.
Yeah.
But sorry, you were going to move things forward.
I was saying, which nuns are we all?
Oh, great.
Fernando and I are both Sister Ruth.
Can you both be Sister Ruth?
Lusting after the unachievable man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
In such a way that will end with you attempting to murder everyone.
Our love rivals, yes. Push her down, Ruth. That's what I was saying. Go on. You can get him, girl. Claire's Clodagh.
It's Claire Clodagh. Yeah, I can see that. Doing your best, being the adult in the room, keeping everything going. Totally right. I saw a bit of Sister Honey in myself.
Lovely.
Certainly at work, I don't know if I'm a pushover, but I definitely no matter how kind of unachievable something is, I will tend to be like, oh yes, oh, we can do something. It'll be great. It'll be fine. Come on, let's.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
But maybe I saw, so I picked the nicest character in the film and said it's me. But
I thought Clodagh had her head screwed on. She kept things going pretty well.
Yeah.
I thought she had a little sense of humour about her as well.
Safe pair of hands.
Yeah.
I was struck by the level of quality of education that was provided. And
yeah.
Yet my impression is that that is what school was like back then. Like a huge amount of it was just like one kid pointing at things and shouting the name and having everyone else shout the name back. Or even like her teaching the guy French by saying like, now to conjugate this verb without any connection yeah. to like, shall we speak French? Yeah, it seems so by rote, so formalised. Mm. But yeah, maybe that's just what they did back then.
Nuns.
Yeah. Pfft. Go ahead, none of my teachers were nuns.
I think my dad encountered a fair few nuns.
Okay.
I'm not sure though. I should ask him about that.
Yeah.
He's got some nun stories.
I'd like a full report on his nun stories. Are nuns always Catholic?
By definition.
There aren't Protestant nuns, are there?
No.
No, okay.
What? What do Protestants have against
nuns? This says there's Lutheran nuns.
Oh, there's Lutheran nuns.
And some
these guys
Presbyterian traditions have nuns. Bloody Protestants. Typical. Give us back our nuns.
You're never happy.
Can't do anything right.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. The link, Laura, to The Boy and the Heron.
Oh, yes. Hmm.
A very high tower where people go in and lose their minds.
Yes, there you go.
That's quite a literal link rather than a thematic one, but there we are. We've done who we all are.
We do that. We could think of which characters were which characters from Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, we haven't done that for ages.
It's not an easy one.
Yeah.
I guess Sister Honey was Piglet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just quite sweet and innocent and wants the best for people. And,
yeah,
and Sister
right.
Clodagh was Kanga.
Sister Ruth is Tigger.
Yeah. Yeah, always close to the fucking edge.
Yeah. Manic depressive.
Who's the one, the nun who they were like, they wanted her for her strength and she was the one who wouldn't give the baby medicine and she was supposed to be the... She could be Owl.
Wasn't that Philippa?
Or was that? I thought Philippa was the garden one.
I've really lost track of all of the nuns that all look the
nuns.
Same. Yeah, to summarise, again, I was really enjoying this film and it was a good film. It was just unsatisfying in a few ways.
Mm.
I'm really glad you picked it. I'm glad we've watched it.
Oh, good.
Apart from anything, I think it's a classic.
Yeah. I'll probably pick I Know Where I'm Going at some point as well. Another one by these directors. It's very different, though.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think they must have been a bit ahead of their time making this stuff. It was, quite
striking. Interesting. I think Pressburger was cancelled in his day.
Oh.
Or one of them was. Yeah. For a film that he'd made. Hang on.
Whoa. I just looked at them both up in Wikipedia and neither of them has
Powell.
A controversy section.
Oh.
It was Powell. What did he do?
The film Peeping Tom.
Whoa!
Contender for first slasher movie. Had
brilliant.
Violent sexual content.
Right.
Shocking serial killer drama.
Is
now revered,
kind of
but got him. It ended his career.
Wow. It got released.
Yes.
But it ended his career. Okay. Must have been ahead of his time.
Yeah, it was about voyeurism and a serial killer goes around murdering women.
Yeah.
Vitriolic response to it.
Wow.
Let's. Peeping Tom.
Can't wait. I don't think I have anything else to say except, yeah, thank you for picking the film.
Yeah.
It was certainly a good film.
I'm glad we've watched it.
Yeah.
Next time, Twister.
Can't wait.
Should we end the meeting?
Yeah, ready when you are.
Oh, God. Okay, now I'm ready.
Dong, 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 dong. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.